All right, let's just stretch out our hands to Jay, our wonderful speaker for the day. And let's just, you know, Holy Spirit, just come and fill him up. Ha. Let the words that come out of his mouth come straight from heaven. Ha. In Jesus' name. We speak fire over you right now, Jay. Ha. Fire of God. Ha. Over your life. Ha. On the count of three, everybody just say fire over Jay. One, two, three. Fire! Ha! We know he likes that. There you go, Jay.
All right. Well, if you're outside, come on in. The water's fine. Holy Spirit is doing his... All right, we're just going to do some more Holy Spirit stuff. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, pour out your presence. Thank you, Lord. Ha! I got good news for you today. Good news. Good news. Ha. You know, a little while ago, I was really, really sick. And my nerves were bad. And I was like, God, just give me the strength to get through this. You know, and he did. He came and he filled me up with his spirit, and I just felt this cold, cold thing come off of me. And it felt so good. And that's what God does. He rescues us. He blesses us. He fills us with joy and with praise. You know, God is a good God with plans to bless us and not to harm us. Ha. You know, his intentions are always honest. There's been sins in my life where I've been like, God, I hate this sin in my life. Why won't you deliver me from it now? And God's like, how long have you been waiting to be free? Well, 6 months, a year. And God's like, that's good. I've been waiting 2,000 years for you to be free from that sin. You know, that just shows me the awesomeness of my God, the patience of my God, the wonder of my God. And so, and it causes me to fall more and more in love with him. It's interesting because, you know, God didn't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil on the top of Mount Everest where we couldn't get it. Did you notice that? He didn't put it there, so we couldn't have it. And some people actually say to me, why did we put that tree there? You know, why did he put that tree there? And sometimes I often wonder that. Have you ever been going through a bad day and go, hate that tree. Why do I have to work, you know, and toil and have trials and tribulations? And I really believe that the answer is the reason why God put the tree there was because, you see, he actually wanted to prove his love to us. Put it right in the middle there. And I think God actually knew that we were going to eat it. And he knew that we were going to sin. And he knew that we were going to hurt. And he knew that he... Almighty God was going to hurt. The Bible says that we grieve the Spirit of God. So he is actually willing to subject himself to pain in order that we might know that he loves us. And we were singing all about that on the cross. Why? Because he wants to win our hearts and our minds over to himself. He wants to win us over to himself. Think about that. Have a seat. He wants to win us over to himself. Our glorious good God. And so I'm going to talk about honoring our bridegroom. Now, I've been teaching my kids about respect and honor. It's interesting. Because, you know, I had one kid biting another kid, my youngest one biting the oldest one, and the oldest one crying. And I had the oldest one used to love to push the youngest one over. Sandra can attest to that. And I was sitting down with him, and I said, you know, you can't do that. You know, I don't care if you become doctors, lawyers, prime ministers, business people, whatever. I just really, I want you to be good people. I said, and the way that you become good people is you learn to respect one another. And so my kids are 4 and 2, but they were actually getting it. You know, I had them say that they were sorry. I had them say that neither of them would like to be bitten or to be pushed. And I said, respect and honor is all about not doing to the other person what you wouldn't want done to you. And they clued in. I know the oldest one gets it for sure. I'm pretty sure the youngest one got it too. And C.S. Lewis says it this way. He said, we know that there's a God and that his law is true because no matter how many times we try to justify our sins or our actions, every time someone does something to us that we wouldn't want done to us or we wouldn't want done to us, we cry out for justice. And it proves that the law of God is written on our hearts. So you can be the worst criminal, the meanest murderer, whatever, in the prison, but if somebody does something really mean to you, you're going to cry out in pain. And you might even say it's not fair. The law has been broken. There's been a transgression. And what happens is a lot of times when we say that's not fair and we're in pain, we want to share our pain with somebody else. And so, you know, my oldest daughter pushes my youngest daughter and my youngest daughter grabs her heel and bites her. Does that make sense? And so what happens is we cease to become good people. Because instead of wearing a garment of praise, we have this garment of shame. Right? We have this garment of shame. And this garment of shame causes us, because you see, we decided that we wanted the right to judge between good and evil. Right? And so he pushed me and I'll push him. Because I want to show him how it feels. And since he pushed me and I pushed him, I should be able to push other people so they can push other people. And the circle goes round and round and round and round and round. And it's really awful. And the Bible calls that sin. Perpetual sin. It says that... Sorry, guys. It says it in Romans 3 or Romans 2. It says that we justify our sin because of the fact that we were sinned against, is basically what it says. So our sin actually justifies us in doing more sin. And this is the state of human beings. This is why my wife goes downtown to places that are covered in puke, and there's people beating each other up and molesting one another. That's why. We don't have to live like that. But because of sin, people are literally in hell. I know, because there's lots of people that I used to work with that used to say, oh, I'm not afraid of going to hell. My life is hell. I'd say, really? And they tell me about all their problems and all their stresses and all their anxieties and how much of hell their life feels like. And I'd say, do you know why your life is hell? And they'd say, no, I don't know. I said, it's because you're far away from Jesus. You're far away from God. And the further you get away from God, the more like hell your life is going to feel. Because you're going to feel more fear, more hate, and do more sin. And the more sin you do, the more of its consequences are going to fall upon you. And yeah, you're going to feel trapped. He's like, yeah, I do feel trapped. I said, there's a way out. There's a way out. And his name is Jesus. And salvation is not just a word, but an experience. There's a guy at my work. I've been convincing him to go to church with his wife. Because he told me that he wasn't ready to get saved yet. But his mom's praying for him and his wife is praying for him. And he said that he likes his sin. And I'm like, oh, how can you like your sin? It's the reason why you're miserable, for one. But more than that, I said, don't you understand that when you do finally get saved, you're actually going to feel the weight of your sins lifted off your shoulders? You're going to feel a freedom and a peace and a joy like you've never felt before. And any pleasure that you had in your sin is going to feel like nothing in comparison with the joy and the peace and the freedom that you will feel when you finally accept forgiveness from Jesus Christ. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the good news to the poor. He sends us to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. And they are captives. I went through a thing with a bunch of people about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, because they all said that they liked their sin. I said, you're a slave to it. And they said, no. I said, what's your favorite sin? They told me what their favorite sin was. I said, can you stop it for a week? If you can stop it for a week, you're not a slave to it. They couldn't even go a day. And they were mad. Then their sin wasn't fun anymore because they realized that they were in bondage to it. And I said, but there's a way to get free. There's a way to get free. There's a way to get free. And so, the Lord came upon Isaiah to proclaim liberty to the captives. Those who were captive by sin and by bondage. And that liberty, comes through Jesus Christ. I can't help it. I'm an evangelist. You know, to console those who mourn because of the consequences of their sin, because really they're dressed in ashes. The ashes is the frown upon their face, the fist that's turned up, and the anger and the pain that they feel because of their sin against other people and the sins that done against them. And because of that, people actually can't praise God. Instead of praising God, they say, why do bad things happen to good people? And why are all these bad things happening to me? Because I'm a good person. Even though I just hit that guy because I was hit 10 years ago. But I'm justified in it. God can't be good. Look at the world around us. We're all in ashes. Shame. Hurt. guilt, pain, jealousy, anger, bitterness, malice, wrath. One of the most uninviting things upon people's faces is a scowl. Like Mr. T.
I'm going to get you, sucker. Ooh. You sinned against me, I'll sin against you.
Got good news, though. Mr. T is now saved, and he loves Jesus Christ. So when you see him now, he's always got a big smile on his face, and he's happy. And he's always saying stuff like, love your mama. It's true. Go on the internet. The old Mr. T is like, ooh. The new Mr. T is like, hi, I'm Mr. T. Love your mama. And do good in school, kids. It's all happy. Praise the Lord. God saved Mr. T. That means there's hope for us, you and me, right? God will console those who mourn in Zion. He will give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and they will rebuild the old ruins and the former desolations. You see, me and you are the answer, the cure to the sin that's in this world as Christians. Because we say, praise God, I can be a positive that wipes out the negative. I can go and hug people at bus stops, pray for them and their headaches go away. I can ask a man to go to church with his wife and love her more. I can see the goodness of God and the beauty of this world because I've been forgiven and I'm able now to forgive others. And the peace and grace and the lightness that is on me is just causing me to praise God because I just can't help myself. You know what Keith Green used to sing? Keith Green's one of my heroes. He used to sing, I want to know where the bad feelings go. I want to know where the bad feelings go, as he used to sing it. Because he didn't know where they went, but he knew that Jesus came and he took all the bad feelings off him. And he was filled. So instead of that garment of shame and heaviness and, you know, he was filled with joy and peace and love, goodness of God. Anybody ever feel like they have a garment of heaviness on? Garment of shame? A garment of judging other people and God because bad things have happened to me? Well, I'll tell you what. That's good because that means that God wants to put new garments upon you. How do we put them on? How do we put them on? You see, God wants you to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem. For Zion's sake, he will not hold his peace. The Gentiles shall see the glory. We will be called by a new name. They no longer call me J. Fro the juggler anymore. They call me Jay the Christian, the pastor, which is weird even thinking about it, but it's true. I'm no longer Jay the thief anymore, but I'm Jay the generous. People know me to be very generous, even in my old neighborhood. You know, the guy who used to go downtown and take the bums out for lunch all the time. Tell them about Jesus, and there's a way out. Yeah. And I really believe that the goodness of God, the salvation that you have, will burn like a lamp upon you. And people will actually see you crowned with the goodness and the love of God. Does that make sense? For the Lord delights in us, and He wants to marry us as a young man marries a virgin. Yeah, we're no longer called forsaken. We're no longer desolate. We're no longer depressed. But because of the fact that God delights in us, He wants to marry Himself to us. And so, even us as sons of the living God shall be married to the Lord. They used to say, you know, the joke in my old church used to be, yeah, you can be sons on earth, but when you get to heaven, you have to be the bride. Anybody ever heard that one? I've heard that one a few times. But I'm here to tell you that the good news is that, or maybe the bad news, is that you actually get to be the bride when you're on earth as well. One of the main hardcore revelations I got from the revival, I knew about sonship before that, but was the bride. It was a hardcore revelation that God gave me. Welcome. So God wants to marry Himself to you. He wants to marry His Son to us. You know why? Oh, I'm feeling really evangelical today. I don't know why. But anyways, when I was praying, I felt evangelical too. I'll tell you why. You see, we're God's sons and daughters. But we were disowned because we took up the right to judge between good and evil. And so God wanted to think of a way to bring us back into the family. Because when we disowned ourselves from God, we took away our inheritance. So He thought, well, I'll just have them marry my son. And they will be restored back onto me. And so, joining yourself with Christ causes you to become restored, and there's restoration. And God rejoices over you as a lost son or a lost daughter. You see, for the husband is the head of the church. Now, we're a little bit too far ahead for that. So God wants to marry us. He wants Jesus to marry us. Jesus wants to marry us. Now, what does that mean? To be married to God. That means that we cease to be identified as ourselves. So we cease to have our last name. And we take on a new name. So we cease to be, I'm going to get you, sucker, Mr. T. And we become, hey, y'all, I'm having a great day today. You can do it. Go to school. Take care of your mama. Why? Because we have a new association. We're not known by the old things anymore, but the judgment and the sin that's been done against us that we do against others. But we're known by our association with the bridegroom and the forgiveness and the redemption. And so because we're forgiven, we just start to begin to love and forgive others because we're loved and forgiven by God and married back into His family. And so God wants to make us a pure and spotless bride. Because you see, the husband is the head of the church, of the wife, and also Christ is the head of his church, which is his body. Therefore, just as this church is subject to Christ, let wives be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, for he gave himself up for her. And if you keep reading, it says that he actually washes them with his word and makes us into a pure and spotless bride. I think I got that on the next one. Yeah. And then it talks about how the two become one. And so when you're married with Jesus, and you take off that garment of shame and you have the garment of praise, you become one with Christ. And so being the bride means that you actually become part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? And when you become part of the body of Christ or the bride of Christ, you will find that God washes you with his word through Holy Spirit. And he gives you his promises, and he gives you his callings, and he gives you a new purpose in him. And so your new purpose and your new calling isn't, I'm going to get you, sucker. But it's joy and it's peace and it's love and it's hope and it's light for you and for all those around you who are still in garments of shame and darkness and heaviness. You see, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For he foreknew us. That means that he saw you in your sin 2,000 years before you even were born, and felt sorry for you, and decided he wanted to marry you back into the family. Isn't that great? God has been waiting longer than we have to be free, to free us. He wants us to have the victory more than what we want the victory. Because he's been watching us suffer for a very long time. And so what he does is he predestines us to be conformed into the image of his son by becoming his bride. We take off the old name and we put on the new name. And those who he predestines, he calls. That means predestined works. That means that God has works for you to do inside of him. What does that mean? That means that you no longer live for yourself, but you live for Christ. And when you live for Christ instead of yourself, instead of moving out in your judgments and doing mean to others because mean has been done to you, you begin to move out in God's mercy and his grace and his peace and his love. And you begin to love others as you are loved. And this changes your whole world in an instant, because life is 99%. There's 1% what happens to you, and the other 99% is your reaction to it. Convinced of that. It changes your whole world. All of a sudden, you don't pick the lowest common denominator, you always pick the high. All of a sudden, you have hope and peace and joy. And instead of going for the thing that makes you the most depressed because you feel that that's going to happen to you, you go for the thing that makes you feel the most joy and peace because you feel that that's going to happen, because you have a new hope and a new peace and a new purpose in Christ Jesus, because you've been married into a new family. It's called the family of God. How do we marry the family? How do we get into that? How do we put on those garments? I'll tell you how. You ready? Peter 1, it says, "Let not you be adorned merely with outward, arranging your hair, wearing gold, wearing fine apparel." He's talking to wives. Okay? So wives, do not wear gold. Doesn't mean you have to not wear gold. You can wear gold and still be a Christian. You can have fine apparel and still be a Christian. But it says, you know, have an incorruptible beauty that is very precious in the sight of God. It says, holy women who trusted God adorned themselves, being submissive to their husbands. There's some translations. I was actually going to pull up a different translation where it actually says that women are supposed to be adorned by good deeds in listening to Christ. So if we want to be that pure and spotless bride, it's not so much about how much gold we have, and how much bling we have, and how successful we are. This is why I told my kids, I don't care what you become as long as you become a good person. Does that make sense? I know they can't be good people without Jesus Christ. I didn't get that far yet with them. Once they get to the point where they realize they can't stop sinning, then we're going to talk about Jesus. But we're not there yet. It's coming, though. I hope to get them saved and speaking in tongues by 5. What? Tama Ward, the lady who helped get me saved, she was speaking in tongues by 5. It's possible. Never fell away from God the whole time. Just ended up becoming a youth pastor. An amazing, amazing lady filled with the Holy Spirit. You could actually feel the Holy Spirit wafting from her office in a Baptist church. But you could feel it. She was so filled with God. She would be talking to me and she'd be like, "Hang on, I want to find out what the Holy Spirit wants me to say to you right now." No kidding. Sadly, she didn't have a taste for much charismatic stuff because she said she wasn't too into the Holy Spirit magic show because she really believed that Christianity was something that changed people on the inside out and not the outside in. That's what she used to say. I do believe that she was right in that respect, that Christianity should change us from the inside out, not the outside in, which is what Peter's talking about. If that makes sense to you. And so, yeah, wear your bling and your gold and your designer shoes, but, oh, hang on. It would be a better thing. Oh, my computer. No way. No way. It would be a better thing. No, it wouldn't be a better thing to preach without a computer. I was liking this computer preaching. It would be a better thing. Hey, Mike, come here, help me out. It would be a better thing that if we were adorned by good deeds. I think I'm out of batteries. Don't worry. I got my manual notes here. We're all right. We're safe. No mess-ups today. No mess-ups, don't worry. We don't have any screw-ups today. Ha! Thank you, Lord. So, we're talking about being adorned with good deeds in Christ. Come on, computer. Adorned with good deeds in Christ Jesus. And you know, sometimes good deeds is what makes people beautiful. Peace and joy is what makes people beautiful. I don't care if you got a Gucci bag and you're driving a Ferrari, if you got a scowl on your face, I'm not more any likely to talk to you. You got the Ferrari, you got the Gucci bag, you got the Ralph Lauren's jacket or whatever, and you're like this,
I'm going to get you, sucker.
It's not very inviting, is it? It doesn't make the person look much better. Because believe it or not, people actually see what's on the inside of people a lot more than what they see what's on the outside. I've known people who were rather chubby, but because of the fact that they were so filled with life and God and peace and joy, everybody seemed to want to be around them. Because they were just electric. They lit up the whole room with their smile and enthusiasm and joy. No amount of clothes can do that for you. But if you're adorned with a garment of praise, and you're filled with the love of Christ, and you don't see things on the negative, but you see things on the positive, all of a sudden you begin to light up that room. Does that make sense? And all of a sudden you have a beauty that's matchless of any beauty. No fashion designer can design that. They might be able to make a yellow dress with happy faces on it, but if you got a scowly face when you're wearing that, oh, it's not going to work. Right? I don't know whether they actually would buy something like that, but you never know. Fashion's getting crazier and crazier all the time. So it's funny. I think they're actually putting less and less on. This is just a little theory of mine. They're putting less and less on because they know it doesn't matter how much they cover up. They still want to, they're trying to make it so that you can't see the outside in. Sorry, that didn't make sense. Point being was I really believe that people are still looking for the person who's underneath the clothes. And maybe that's why they're putting less and less on them. Does that make sense? They're still looking for the person who's underneath all those clothes. And so people are looking for closeness and an intimacy with the person. So they're finding a closeness and an intimacy with the person's shape of their body rather than the shape of their spirit. But really what they're looking for is the shape of a person's spirit. But don't worry, if the Holy Spirit is inside you and you're filled, you'll actually attract people onto yourself. It works. I know. I see it all the time at work, different workplaces. Automod was the most striking. I'm reading my Bible. The guy comes up and he just says, "You're not here for a reason." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah. My mom's been praying for me. My wife's been praying for me. And I think I want to get saved." Get saved. It took 2 days. 2 days of talking to this guy. Saved. Then this other lady, her son's a pastor, she gets saved. And then somebody else is on their way to getting saved. It was just like boom, boom, boom. 3 weeks. The joy of Christ hit him. There's this guy, Paul, sitting beside him. I don't know who God's going to save next at my workplace, but I know he'll save somebody. I think he's going to save the Muslim lady. She used to be a Christian, but she turned Muslim. But she's been sitting beside me and asking me questions about God and stuff. Because I told her, like, you know, Muhammad didn't set you free. Muhammad didn't die for you. You know. Anyways, we've been having conversations. But I love it. Paul sees me reading my Bible. He's like, "Oh, I'm going through a hard time." He's going through a divorce. And you know what happened? He brings me these Nigerian Swahili missionary tracts, and they talk about all night praying and fasting, and the Lord is actually ministering to me through this guy. He's like, you should fast. And I'm like, yeah, I know. God's been talking to me about fasting. And then him and two other ladies go on to hold a Bible study in Swahili beside me. I don't know what they were talking about. I didn't catch it. It was an African, but, you know. But that's how quickly the light spreads and the joy. And all of a sudden, Paul's coming to work with a smile on his face, and he's not all... He doesn't work there anymore. I think he found another job, but think about that. That fast. That fast. Those who God predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorifies with a garment of praise. Lightness for heaviness. You want to put on that garment. You want to be adorned with the garment of praise and the lightness and the heaviness. Because it's worth much more than high fashion, silver, gold, and fine apparel. Because what people are really looking for is the person behind all that. And if the person behind all that in you is Jesus Christ, look out, there's going to be favor. Because the peace that's on you is going to be on them. And they're going to be able to trust you. And they're going to be able to release you into all kinds of stuff and bless you just because of the blessing that's upon you. Yeah, mercy is transferable. That's the great part about mercy. Judgment is transferable, but mercy is transferable. John Arnott puts it this way, would you rather have transferred to you, mercy or justice? If you have justice transferred to you, well, you're going to get,
I'm going to get you, sucker.
That's justice. If you have mercy transferred to you, you might get, hey, go bless your mama. I got me $10,000 here. Go buy her a new car. You never know, especially with God. You never know. So, moving right along. All right. Oh. You see, Jesus said that those who keep his commands are those who love him. And those who love him will be with him and his Father. And he will manifest himself to them. So those who are married to God are those who love him. And those who love him, manifestations of the mercy of God and the love of God start happening all around them because of the garment of praise. And the reason why we have the garment of praise is because we've married ourselves to the bridegroom and taken up a new name, which is Christian, which I'm not ashamed to be, ever. I'm not ashamed to be, ever. 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 So, thank you, Holy Spirit. And Jesus answered, he said, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, I will love him and we will come to him and we will make our home in him. And I was just describing what it's like to have God's home within you. It's much better than gold and silver and fine apparel. It's actually the peace and the mercy of God upon you transferring onto others and allowing them to give it back to you. Favor of the Lord. Wow, isn't that great? Yes, we do have trials. But even as the Father loves us, we must abide in him, because if we keep his commandment, we abide in his love. And just as we have the Father's love, commandments, we abide in his love. And his commandment is that we love and respect one another. Because the second we stop honoring and loving and respecting one another, we take off the garment of praise and we put back on the garment of shame. And the mercy and the grace and the peace and the favor is over. And we're right back to square one.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
And then what happens is we reap the judgment that's within us.
What was that?
God, forgive me, for I have sinned and others have sinned against me, and I'm at the bottom now and I need you to lift me back up. And then, yes, the bad feelings come off you and you feel forgiven and you feel light and you feel peace and you got the garments back on and you're walking along. And the temptation is always to judge, because the second you do, you know what happens? Off come the garments. And instead of reaping the mercy and joy of God, the peace, you reap judgment. And we go around and around and around and around and around and around and around. But I'll tell you what. The Bible says that God wants to wash us with his word and make us into a pure and spotless bride. He wants to marry us and rejoice over us and fill us with joy and fill us with peace. And that peace and that joy and that garment of praise that we put on, which is good works to do to one another as we respect and love one another in Christ. It's actually the favor of God. The love of God. Does that make sense? And this is why it's so important that we love one another. And when we do love one another, we find ourselves laying down our lives for our friends. But it's okay, because usually the life that we're laying down is the I'm going to get you sucker life. Which doesn't help us or anybody else around us. And we end up taking up a whole new gracious, glorious, praise the Lord Jesus life. Woohoo! I like the praise the Lord Jesus life. I want to stay in that life. And I know that the best way to stay in that praise the Lord Jesus life is to take the love that he's given to me and give it out to other people. And I'll stay in the grace and the peace and the love, and I'll keep my garments white for the coming of my bride, my bridegroom and my king, Jesus Christ. You see, God, he says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. You love one another because you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain. And whatever you ask in my name, I will be able to give to you. And it goes on, and Jesus says, I command, and the one thing that I command is that you love one another. He says it again and again. Because he knows that only through honoring one another and loving one another can we maintain the garment of praise and walk in the favor of the Lord. Very important. That's why we have to remain in his love. Because you can come out of it and come into it and come out of it and come into it. But that's like walking along, stepping in front of a truck and getting hit and saying, oh, God help me. And he puts you back on the street and you walk along and you step out in front of another truck. Why? I know that God meant us for much more than that. He did. Sure, there's feet washing involved in it. I'm not going to lie. But the joy that you have when you're washing the feet is the joy of the Father over top of you. And so my wife, who generally isn't that sociable, sorry, I love her, but not always that sociable. She's more of a private person. And I can't hardly imagine my wife hugging someone on the street, especially when I first married her. There's no way. It's hugging these people and loving on them. And she's starting to walk in predestined works that she has to do in Christ. I know a lot about these predestined works in Christ. I remember one of the times when I first figured out that I was called to be a preacher. I was in a roadie shop, and I started preaching, and the place filled up, and the place closed it at 6, but we were there till about 7:38, and about 6 or 7 people got saved. I remember that very clearly. I was like, wow, you know. Not even the storekeeper could close the shop because of the anointing that was there. I remember that very clearly, like yesterday. I remember that. I remember preaching on the street and people falling in tears and giving me their phone number and coming to church 5 at a time. I remember those days. I remember the days of the Lord was like, yeah, you know, follow me. Follow me into peace, into joy, into love, into goodness, into kindness. Out of your anger and out of your judgments and out of your rage and out of your bitterness. And what will happen is that you'll light up a room with the beauty and the glory of God that is within you. Versace can't draw it. In fact, he keeps erasing what he's been drawing in order to try to get closer and closer to that which is supposed to be inside the person, which is, or rather, the body of the person, which was created in the image of God. But my beloved, if you have been in a place where you felt like you need to put on your garments fresh, you need to put on your apparel, you need to put on Christ fresh, you need to take off your garment of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. And if you're in a place where you're not even sure that you want to put the garment of heaviness on and put on a garment of praise, trust me, you need to do this, because this is the only way that you're actually going to walk in the favor and the peace of God that you came here to get in the first place, that everybody wants, because even the Rolling Stones can't get satisfaction from worldliness and sin. Put on Christ. Put him on. And strut your stuff in him. Yeah. Put him on. And fill the world with peace, joy, love, hope, and goodness again. Why? Because it was what you were born to do from the foundation of the world. You did not choose God, but He chose you, created you, and chose you to do predestined works, good works in Him. To love. And when you do love the one, first my wife had to talk to the person and love them, and then she could heal their headache. Signs, wonders, and miracles will follow you everywhere you go. Because where you will be, He will be. Does that make sense? And where He is where you want to be, because you see, He is the author of life. The beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the source of peace, the source of joy, the source of hope, the source of goodness. Love incarnate. Love. Take that step. Take that step of faith today and say, you know what? Even though my heart is broken and I have a garment of shame on, I'm willing to take that off and put on a garment of praise. I'm willing to love again because God has loved me. He loved me first. He chose me first. I'm willing to have compassion again. Because God loves me and He has compassion on me. I'm willing to step out and be vulnerable. Because I know His joy is going to be my strength. That's why I do it. I know that if I am in Him and He is in me, He that is within me has already defeated the world. Who needs a little victory in their life? Just put up your hand. Put up your hand. Who needs a little victory? Who needs a little peace? Who needs a little joy? Who needs a little love? Who needs forgiveness? Who needs freedom and grace? First for themselves, that they might be able to give it out to other people. Who here can't afford Versace? I can't. Good, I got something better for you. It's called a garment of praise. It's called the garment of peace and joy. I'm going to ask the Lord to lift off garments of heaviness right now all around this room. And if you want to come up to the front and worship God, go for it. I'll pray for you. If not, that's okay. But I want you to just be filled. Start to worship God. Start to praise the Lord. Start to physically put on that garment and say, will in your heart that this week that you are going to praise God, that you're going to worship God, that you're going to love the one, you're going to love one another and honor one another and bless one another in Him because of His goodness. And you'll see that all of a sudden the Lord will start talking to you about predestined works, and you'll see signs, wonders, and miracles and favor all around your life. Why? Because He has been waiting a very, very long time to see us walking in victory. Amen? Alicia has a scripture for us.
It ties into what Jay was saying about putting on new garments, and actually got this before the, during the worship, the first thing. It's from Song of Solomon. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me."
So, you keep reading, it talks about skipping across mountains. With Jesus. Maybe you have a mountain of pain. Maybe you have a mountain of debt. Maybe you have a mountain of hurt. Whatever that mountain is that you need to skip across, I want you to just take the hand of your lover, of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a mountain of sickness. I don't know, a mountain of depression. Maybe you have a mountain of shame. The Lord wants to take you by the hand and skip you across those mountains.
Feeling what Jay's been talking about all morning, and just going to open up the altar if you need prayer for anything in your life. But there's just this presence right here, you know, and I just feel that whatever you bring to the altar today, God is going to lift off your shoulders. You know, so this is your time. Ha. He is here. The only thing holding you back is yourself. So if you want that burden of depression lifted off, ha, he's here. If you want that burden of sickness lifted off of your life, ha, he's here to take it. Whatever your need is this morning, ha, Daddy God is here. Ha. Ha. So just feel free to come. We'll have our leaders pray for you.
Told me. to